Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening all to the veterans worldwide that may be out there this evening, your families and your friends. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. And this TNT Open Forum Net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. The SCARS server is supplied by the West Michigan privately owned repeater network. This TNT net is conducted to provide information pursuant to the amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Before we get the program started this evening, may I ask if there are any emergency situations on channel that need to be handled or anything out of the ordinary, please call now. Okay, my name is Gordon, calls KY6V. We're talking to you from Central Florida, a little bit inland from Daytona Beach in the shores of the Atlantic. And today, South Cars and our friends around the world are going to be honoring Veterans Day and Remembrance Day. This is a special day in many ways, and it is the intent of this program to discuss events leading to the establishment of this being a holiday, and further hearing from those that served along with family members that may be in attendance. Your program administrator and moderator for this evening is our one and only Tony, KJ4PUJ from the Florida Keys. At this time, allow me to transfer the program to Tony and further welcome everybody that is in attendance. KJ4PUJ, if you would be so kind, sir. Good evening from KY6V. Over.
Good evening, Gordon. This is KJ4PUJ in Florida Keys. My name is Tony. The temperature in the Keys is in the lower 70s right now. It's clear and quite comfortable. Got a little breeze out of the northeast, and we're doing quite well. It was a beautiful day here today. That being said, I would like to welcome everybody that can hear the sound of my voice tonight. And in particular, any veterans from any nation that are joining us tonight. Veterans Day, or Remembrance Day as it's called in many countries, is to honor those who have served their nation. There can be no greater calling than for a man or woman to raise their hand and voluntarily go into harm's way on behalf of their country. This is not a political discussion, nor will we let it digress into one. Service for your country, regardless of nation, is an honor and should be respected and treated as such, and no veteran should ever be forgotten. That being said, I'm going to pause, and then we're going to do a roll call. And we're literally going to go around the world tonight, and hoping that whoever can hear the sounds of our voice will answer up and hear the call of duty once more. Attention on deck. All veterans and their family members who can hear the sound of my voice, it's time for geographic roll call. We will start with Africa and the Middle East. Is there anyone in Africa or the Middle East that would care to check in with us at this time? Nothing being heard. We're going to move on slightly north to Europe and Western Asia. Are there any veterans of any nation, ham radio operators, that would like to check in? Please sound off now. Nothing being heard. We would like to move on to Eastern Asia, China, Japan, Korea, Thailand, New Zealand, Australia, that part of the world. Are there any veterans who would like to be acknowledged? Please come aboard. Nothing being heard. We're going to come back across the Pacific towards South America. Are there any veterans of any nation that can hear my voice that would care to be acknowledged in South America at this time? Please come forward. Nothing being heard. We're going to move north into Central America and Mexico and the Caribbean. Are there any veterans anywhere that can hear the sound of my voice that would like to be acknowledged? Please come now. Moving farther north, up to Canada. Are there any veterans in the sound of my voice that would like to be acknowledged? Please come now. Nothing being heard. We're going to come back to the United States. Are there any veterans listening to the sound of my voice behind any repeaters connected in any way, shape, or form to this network? Please call now.
KA3PEJ.
KA3PEJ. Did I get that correct?
That is correct. KA3 Tango Echo Juliet.
How's that, ma'am? Thank you for your service. And would you care to tell us where you're at and a little bit about your time?
Well, I'm afraid it's not me that served our country, but I'm calling for, on behalf of my husband, who's working right now and is unable to hit the repeater with his handheld. He is a veteran of the Gulf era. He is W4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet, W4 RFJ Roger, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Copy that, ma'am. On behalf of all of us, we thank Roger for his service, and we thank you for yours as well. Being the spouse of a military member is a full-time job, and it's a challenge in its own right, and no family member should ever be forgotten along with their veteran. So thank you, Andrew Roger, on behalf of all of us.
Thank you very much. KA3TEJ, back to net control.
Under that, are there any other veterans in the United States, not counting production staff? We're going to go last. Okay, it looked like there was a station that was trying to connect behind an IRLP node 3583. Please try again. You did not come through. Okay, he's either or she is either having technical difficulties or is mic shy, so we're going to move along. Production staff, are there any veterans among us? Please come now.
6, Victor Corin.
KD0, CDQ, United States Navy, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Any other STARS production staff that are veterans, please come now. Okay, hearing nothing, I will throw myself into the deck. KJ4PUJ, I am retired Air Force. I spent 11 years active duty and finished my 20 in the reserves and retired in January of 2005. We're going to go back to the veterans through the roll call here in just a minute, but before I do that, I want to pause with all of you and ask if there are any Mars stations or veteran service organizations or other public safety entities that are listening tonight that would like to be acknowledged. Please come now. Hearing nothing, we're going to move right along. Gordon, I'm going to turn it back over to you or Kathy briefly for the history of Veterans Day and Remembrance Day. This is KJ4PUJ.
Good evening, Tony. Good evening, everyone listening tonight. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathy. I live in the city of Vero Beach, Florida. And since I am a history teacher, I would like to do a little bit about the history tonight. Whether it is peacetime or wartime, it's always important to teach our students that Veterans Day means more than just a day off from school. Patriotism is a value that must be taught and modeled for our young adults. By taking some time to give this sentiment even deeper feeling in a classroom around national holidays, you will be building the foundation for your young every day. The principal always leads the staff and the students in the Pledge of Allegiance before we begin our day. What I would like to talk to each of you tonight about is about Veterans Day and Remembrance Day, and the history of it, and why it's so important, and how why it means so much to most of us. But let me take just a short break. Veterans Day is an annual holiday in the USA that honors military veterans. It is observed on November 11th and is always known as Armistice Day, or is also known as Armistice Day or Remembrance Day in other countries. It is celebrated on November 11th because this date commemorates the signing of the treaty which ended World War I. Major hostilities of World War I were formally ended at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918 with the German signing of the armistice. President Woodrow Wilson first proclaimed Veterans Day in the year 1919. At first, the day was created to honor only the soldiers who died in World War I. However, in 1953, a shoe store owner by the name of Alfred King thought it would be a good idea to honor all veterans, not just those who served in the First World War. He lived in Emporia, Kansas, and the Chamber of Commerce supported his cause. Eventually, President Dwight Eisenhower agreed and signed a law on May 25, 1954, declaring that November 11th would be called Veterans Day. It originally was called Armistice Day. At this time, there were only 48 stars on the flag. Alaska and Hawaii had yet to become states. Let me take another short break. Today, there are more than 24 million war veterans in the USA. This includes veterans from all wars, including World War I and II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the Gulf War. Today, November 11th, remains a day when the nation stops for a moment to observe and honor all those who have served in wars for their patriotism, sacrifice, and willingness to serve their country for the greater good. Today, Americans proudly fly the American flag, attend some ceremonial flag raisings, recite the Pledge of Allegiance, and learn about the important history of the USA. Veterans Day is often confused with Memorial Day. Memorial Day honors those service people who have died in action, while Veterans Day honors all those people who served. National Veterans Day ceremonies take place at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which is an American memorial that honors all those who lost their lives in the various American wars. This takes place in Arlington National Cemetery, which is located just outside of Washington, D.C. That concludes my information on Veterans Day. So now I want to talk to you about Remembrance Day, but let me just take a short break. Every year, on November 11th, Canada and those countries under British rule stops to commemorate and honor the soldiers who died at war. At the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the time that the armistice of World War I was signed in 1918, signifying peace, 2 minutes of silence is observed across the country and across all of the countries in the Commonwealth. Canadians wear poppies and gather at war memorials across Canada. Since the year 1921, the poppy has stood as a symbol for remembrance. Why the poppy? Poppies have historically been associated with battlefields as the flowers grew over the graves of soldiers in Flanders, France. Prior to the First World War, poppies did not grow in this area. However, the soils became rich in lime from the rubble, which made the poppies flourish. Canada's Lieutenant Colonel McRae was born on November 30th, 1872, and I won't pronounce the city in Ontario because it's G-U-E-L-P-H. It was he who wrote the famous lines, "In Flanders fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row." His now famous poem was first published on December 8, 1915. Let me just again take a short break. When an American teacher by the name of Moina Michael, read the poem in November 1918, she made a pledge to always wear a red poppy as a sign of remembrance. A French woman visiting the U.S. named Madame Guerin learned of this custom and returned to France, where she began to make poppies to raise money for the children. The Great War Veterans Association of Canada, now known as the Royal Canadian Legion, follows her example and now raises money every year by selling poppies. On Remembrance Day, Canada remembers those who served the nation during the First World War, the Second World War, as well as the Korean War and current wars. Canada lost 67,000 soldiers in World War I and 45,300 soldiers in World War II. More than 1 million Canadians served in the Second World War. Canada's Navy was the third largest in the Allied forces, and its Air Forces was the fourth largest. I'm going to take a short break before I end and then turn it back to Tony. Today, Canada has a Canadian Remembers program, which endeavors to keep the achievements and sacrifices made by those who served Canada in times of war and peace, to engage communities in remembrance, and to promise an understanding of their significance on life that is known today. Events are planned to encourage people to understand what happened during the war. Even if you are too young to remember, it is important to learn and understand. Remembrance Day in Canada is also known as Veterans Week. With that, I hope you enjoyed my history lesson. This is something I did with my students at school this week, and they highly enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed it as well. With that, I'll turn it back to you, KJ4PUJ, and thanks for allowing me the time to talk tonight. This is Kilo 6, Sierra United, November.
Thank you, Kathy, and all I can say is, wow, I hope your students learned something of it, and if there's anything I can do for those students to personalize it for them, by all means, you know how to get in touch with me. I think it's wonderful that school children around the world are taught history and are made aware of the sacrifices of those that have come before them. And not only the military member, but also the military family. So once again, thank you very much. At this time, I'm going to take a quick pause, and when we come back, I'm going to ask if there's anyone that has any time-sensitive issues. Maybe they can only join us for a short time this evening and needs to get on the air and add their comments or concerns or questions or whatever. So I'll pause just briefly. Okay, are there any stations out there that can hear my voice that have time sensitivity issues? Maybe they can only stay with us a brief amount of time and would like to come on board and either ask a question of our veterans or share something about their service or family member service at this time. Please call now. Okay, nothing being heard. At this time, I'm going to go back to the roll call of the veterans and their spouses that acknowledged, and ask them to share a little bit about their service history, whatever they are comfortable sharing. For those of you that may or may not know, sometimes talking about military service is a challenge for some people, so we will not push any issues. If you're comfortable sharing, great. If you're not, we completely understand, and we will move on to the next person. So we're going to go in the order of folks that checked in, and I'm going to go back to KA3 Tango Echo Juliet, who is the spouse of the military member Whiskey 4 Romeo Fox Juliet Roger. Please come aboard now. KA3 Tango Echo Juliet, this is KJ4PUJ. Are you still there with us?
If I may, I can fill a little bit on Roger. Tony, KY6V.
By all means, sir, and when you're done sharing with Roger, let's have a trivia question, and then you're up next anyhow. So the floor is yours, sir.
All right, thank you. I've had the pleasure, guys and gals, of knowing Roger and his wife, Charlotte, for quite a number of years now. His background was U.S. Navy, retired as a Navy chief, I'm going to say at the 20-year mark, it may have been longer than that, Tony. He was specializing in electronics with the Navy, duty stations all the way around the world on every ship that you can think of, and was very active in the Gulf War situation. Sorry that he's not with us to give you comments firsthand, but that is his background, and we salute him. Tony, over.
Not a problem, and it's completely understandable. And Charlotte, if you're having technical difficulties and you can hear us, we appreciate Roger's service, and again, we appreciate yours as a spouse. So we all know what a tough job that is to be the family members left behind. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Gordon, or Kathy, or Mike, who's ever got the trivia questions ready. And let's do a trivia question or two as it relates to our observances today.
All right, let me ask you a question, Tony, how you would like to handle this. You know, normally we offer a trivia question and stand by for responses. We can do it that way to start with, if you care to. If not, I could read the question and the answer simultaneously just to move things on in the course of the evening. Your preference, sir. Over.
Let's go with plan A first, and if that doesn't work out, wing it and go with plan B.
All right. Plan A was to read both the question and the answer simultaneously. Is that correct?
No, the question, and then give somebody a chance to answer up. Looks like we have somebody trying to connect behind Kilo 5, Mike Oscar Whiskey, Roger Sternson's repeater. Do you wish to be recognized? Okay, nothing being heard. Might have been an accidental mic key. Gordon, go ahead. Take it away, sir. This is KJ4PUJ over to KY6B.
All right, thank you, Tony. KY6B here. I want to say that thanks goes out to Kathy, K6SUN, who put the trivia questions together for the program this evening. I will say that there are 112 in number, and I will also say that we're not going through all 112. But I'll take a covey of about five and then see how you want to handle it from there, Tony. The first question in line would be, how long did the Arab-Israel War of 1967 last? I will repeat the question. How long did the Arab-Israeli War of 1967 last? Anybody out there would like to feel that? KY6B, over. Okay, I'm going to give you the answer, guys and gals. It was 6 days. 6 days. Question number two. Where was the Bay of Pigs, whose invasion sparked a world crisis in the 60th? And you're not allowed to answer this one, Mr. CDQ, but you can if you want. Let me ask this again. Where was the Bay of Pigs, whose invasion sparked a world crisis in the 60s? Answers, please.
Actually, Papa Lima, I believe it was Cuba.
All right, we've got a Cuba coming in from Montreal. Anybody else want to take a poke at this one? All right, I was joking with you out there in Kansas, Mike. Go ahead and put your proper answer in, confirm what Pete has just said, and tell me who was the president at that time. Go ahead, Mike, over.
Being so young at the time, I believe it was 1961 or 62, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and that would be John Fitzgerald Kennedy. John Fitzgerald Kennedy extended my enlistment two times so I could stay in the Mediterranean and be on guard on the aircraft carrier, ready to do the evil deed as needed. Yes, it was good old JFK who stuck me there with my sea bag packed and my eyes moist because I wanted to get out of there, but it didn't work that way. Yes, that's my answer to you. This is KD0CDQ.
Thanks a million, Mike. And there you go, Pete. You were right on, sir. It was the Cuban crisis. This is KY6V for the South Cars TNT. Next question in line, which major weapon? Now, this is an interesting question. Just think about it for a moment. Which major weapon of war was used for the first time in 1916? Saying again, which major weapon of war was used for the first time in 1916? Answers, please.
KF-70WB, wasn't that dynamite?
Hi, Helen. Thanks for joining us. Helen's comment is dynamite. Anybody else like to answer that question, please?
I'd like to chime in. KE5, this is Rick, ORA. I think it was the tank, the armored tank.
All right, Rick. Nice to have you aboard tonight, Tiger. Rick's coming in with tank. Helen has got dynamite. Anybody else, please?
I'm going to totally guess with a machine gun, automatic weapon, GE2XPL, Montreal.
Thank you, Pete. We've got automatic weapons such as machine guns out of Montreal. We have the tank out of Iowa. And we have dynamite out of Washington, D.C. Anybody, or Washington State, excuse me, Helen. Anybody else, please? All right. The correct answer goes to the state of Iowa. Rick, it was the tank. 1916, which was the major weapon of war that was used in that period of time. So thanks, Helen, and thanks, Pete. Congratulations to you, Rick. Going on with, I've got two more, and I'm going to turn it back to you, Tony. What operation, and this is an interesting one, pull it out, old-timers. What operation was the code name for the D-Day landings? I say again, what operation was the code name for the D-Day landings? Answers, please.
TYF.
Sorry, Doug, I almost pounced on you. I was going after the PTT. Doug, go ahead, sir.
Oh, I think I might have an answer. I have my guess. May I say it?
Certainly, Doug. Go right ahead. Put it out on the table. Over.
Yeah, I was going to guess 7 days on that Israeli war, so I'd have been off by six. I couldn't get to the radio fast enough. I think the preparations for the invasion was called Overlord. Over. KV0GF.
All right. Thank you, Doug. Doug's coming in from Fort Myers, Florida, with an answer to that question as the code name being Overlord. Do we have anybody else that'd like to take a shot at this? All right. Not hearing anybody. You're absolutely, positively, and totally correct. Go to the head of the class, Doug, and thank you. Over.
Hey, thanks. I tell you what else. I'm at the head of the my age bracket here in Fort Myers tonight. I chopped the 3 minutes off of last year's Veterans Memorial 5K foot race. And ladies and gentlemen, I was drafted for Vietnam, but the Army didn't see fit to send me to Vietnam. They sent me to Kansas instead, where I was a military police officer. That's where I met my sweetheart, KE0RUL. All right. I do like the History Channel. Gordon, KY6VKE0GY.
All right. Thanks, Doug. I ran across something in this 112 questions here that I found very interesting about being drafted, and I'll talk with you about that later. I don't think we'll get down that far to cover it here this evening, but we'll see how things go. All right, my last question, and then I'm going to turn it back to Nat, and we may pick up some later. It's up to Tony. What marked the first time since the Revolution that the U.S. accepted direct financial aid to fight a war? I'm going to read that one again. What marked the first time since the Revolution that the U.S. accepted direct financial aid to fight a war? This is KY6V. Answers, please. All right, everybody's scratching on that one. It was a recent one. It was the Persian Gulf War. The Persian Gulf War. KJ4PUJ, thanks for the opportunity, sir. KY6V, back to net.
Thanks, sir. KJ4PUJ and KA0GYF. Doug, we will recognize you briefly, and thank you for checking in. I'm going to break with Gordon for just a minute, because just before we started trivia, it sounded as if Roger, K5MOW, was trying to check in. Roger, would you care to check in with us?
Yeah, this is Roger, K5MOW. I thought somebody was calling me about somebody on the system or something like that. So, no, I'm just sitting back listening when my time comes.
Roger that, sir. Are you a veteran?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are you a veteran?
No, sir. No, sir, I'm not a veteran.
Okay. I'm just going to add you to the list of other folks that we're going to give a chance to tell their story. But thanks for checking in with us and sharing our Remembrance Day and Veterans Day program. For those of you that may have just tuned into the sound of our voices, this is the SCARS TNT Open Forum. It is Thursday, November 11th here in North America. It is approximately 20:36 hours Eastern Time, 0136 Zulu Time. And our show this evening, we are discussing veterans of any nation, not just those here in North America, because SCARS is an international organization, and as such, we respect and appreciate any veteran of any nation who served their country. Having said that, we are going to go back to Obi-Wan Kenobi himself, who I believe, from the check-ins this evening, is the senior veteran president, or present, and I know a little bit about his service, but I will let him tell you more. So I'm going to pick on you now, sir, my friend, KY6V, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Tony. I really don't have an awful lot to say. I like that senior title, but it was just because I was young enough that I couldn't get into anything earlier, I guess. I am a Korean veteran. I entered the conflict with the U.S. Navy in the latter years of its goings-on. My specialty in the Navy was electronics, and I was stationed out on the island of Guam during this activity in Korea at one of the five major communication sites worldwide that the Navy operated, and that was NAVCOM Guam. We shared the Pacific arena with a comparable comm stays set up in Honolulu in the Hawaiian Islands. They handled some of the Pacific traffic. We handled everything else, and we were handling most of the traffic inbound and around Korea during this particular time. My job was to keep the electronic equipment working and keep communication what it needed to be between the vessels and any other point in the world that was necessary. So I came out of it as a Korean veteran, and that just tells you, Tony, I've got gray hair. Back to you, sir, from KY6V. Over.
Well, sir, having spent some time in Korea myself, I can know the and Guam. I know that the radio communications are critical to that theater of operation, because even when I was stationed there in the late 80s, the internet hadn't been made public yet. I'm sure it was in the DARPA and the CERN folks' drawing boards, but it had not been made public yet. So we were still doing things, quote-unquote, the old-fashioned way. Hard wires and satellite time was precious at best. So keeping those comm lines going, believe me, as a GI who wanted to call home every now and then, it is very, very much appreciated. So thank you very much, sir, for your service.
Thank you, Tony. I guess you were expecting a response. Appreciate it, sir. Carry on. KY6V.
All right. Moving along. Before we get too far into it, I'm going to go back to Charlotte, KA3T Tango Echo Juliet. Charlotte, are you still with us, or have you disappeared? Okay, it sounds like she has moved on for the evening. We thank her for checking in, and Gordon, the next time you talk to either her or Roger, please express our appreciation for them checking in. Moving along, we're going to break with everybody else and move along to a fellow TNT producer who is also very gracious to assist me with the emergency preparedness folks and is our on-air coordinator, teacher, professor, kindly Mr. Rogers, KD0CDQ, Mike, out in Kansas. And Mike is also a Navy veteran. Mike, come aboard, sir.
This is KD0CDQ. Of interest to Gordon, Guam had a news article about 2 weeks ago. The United States military is intending to spend $12 billion in Guam building submarine pens and a receiving dock for an aircraft carrier and other improvements. Guam will become our frontal defense against the China future problem that we may encounter. I found the article just by chance. It's interesting that Guam, again, is at the tip of the spear one more time in one more future conflict if need be. So little old Guam is right there on the point. Interesting, I joined the Navy in 1958. I was still in high school. I was in my fall of my high school senior year. And I was put in on a delayed entry where they wait till you graduate before they suck you up. And so that's how I began my career in the Navy that early. And I did go in under the aviation banner. Before they swore me in, I took all of the battery tests. And my stipulation was I wanted to go aviation. And they stuck to that. That's about the only part of the dream sheet that they did stick to. They did give me the division I wanted to be in. And matter of fact, I did put in for seaplane duty in Key West, Florida, because I knew there was a seaplane tender down there. But they kind of denied that to me. But I still got to be in Jacksonville on an in again, out again. And I did get to go to Key West for school. That's where VF-101 is located, the Grim Reaper. I think the Grim Reaper is still there. That's where they train fighter aircraft mechanics and whatever else they're doing down there on Boca Chica Island. I think that's the third island up from Key West, Boca Chica Naval Air Station. That was where they sent me for my formal training on a particular type fighter so I could join the fleet straight away from there. I'll let it drop. Anything else you want me to add to that, Tony, let me know.
No, you're doing just fine, Mike. If you want to share some more, great. If not, we'll move on. Choice is entirely yours.
Well, being a kid from New York City, we always considered Florida to be part of New York City, if you were fortunate enough to get there. So that's why when I filled out my Navy dream sheet, I put down that I wanted to go to Florida, but all the way down to the Keys, because I had no idea what it was like down there, but I got to go anyway. But I was in ASW, anti-submarine warfare, is what I was trained for in the reserves. So, of course, when they activated me, they put me in a fighter squadron. That's basic Navy common sense. So even though I was working towards my combat air wings on patrol aircraft, the old trackers, the S-2F trackers, I was a crewman then, I was working toward the wings, but active duty, I became a mechanic on a carrier. So that's the way the military seems to do it. They don't get it exactly the way you want it, the way you plan. But I did get to see Key West, and I believe I was there for about 49 days, something like that, for schooling. And the schooling was excellent, and I thought Key West was like another planet. It was so lovely after a kid coming out of New York City to get to go to a beautiful place like Key West. And when I finished my training, about seven of us jammed into one automobile, and we zoomed up overnight to Jacksonville, Florida. That next morning, our carrier left. So my first sight of an aircraft carrier was my first day on an aircraft carrier, and away I went. And boy, was I a sad little puppy when I saw what an aircraft carrier looked like inside. Oh, boy. I guess I was 19 by that time already, so I guess I should be a little crusty. But I had never lived with 90 guys in the same room before. That was kind of a shock, kind of different. But we all seem to survive those things. This is KD0CDQ. Back to you, Tony.
Thanks, Mike. This is KJ4PDJ down here in the Florida Keys. And, yeah, Boca Chica is the third island up. I'm not counting the Marquesas. The Naval Air Station is still there. It is still a training base. There are not
a whole lot of aircraft permanently assigned to the base anymore. It's basically a transient station for military cargo flights coming back from the Caribbean and Central and South America. And it also is a air-to-air combat training area. We have the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, as well as the Canadian military and the British military that come in pretty regularly to do basically Top Gun-style dogfighting that they don't do out on the West Coast. The West Coast school is exactly that. It's basically a school. And here in Boca Chica, they get to practice what they've learned elsewhere. So that's what it's been. Again, Mike, thank you for your service. And we're going to move along here after I take a quick pause. Okay, up next is Kilo Alpha Zero Golf Yankee Fox. Doug, up in Fort Myers, who's basically due north of me about 150 miles. Come aboard and share your Army experience, please.
Thank you. Boy, what a night. A veteran's night. Well, I'm just a plain old draftee. There's no dream sheet involved there. You just do got to do what they tell you to for 2 years. And most of the guys that wound up in the infantry and went to Vietnam, and the Army made me an MP and sent me to Kansas. I don't know why. That's why I have the zero call. I just stayed. I brought with me to Florida beautiful Kansas farm girl, who's also an amateur radio operator. She almost signed up once after her undergraduate degree in medical technology. She almost signed up in the Navy to be a medical technologist. I'm glad she did, because I don't think I'd have followed behind her in the U.S. Navy like that. Anyway, U.S. Army, and for that was a couple years. And then that was it. The Army was through with me. And that's what it's like being a draftee. Now I live in Florida for the last 25 years. And I guess this is where I'm going to stay. Name is Doug, and Fort Myers, and I'm on walkie-talkie, the Simplex Link. And everybody sounds great. So do you down there in Florida Keys. All right, guys. K-A-0-G-Y-F. That's enough. Oh, and I'm the guy that ran the 5K foot race tonight, and I was lucky to... I didn't have to crawl over the finish line. I was on my feet. I'm kind of sore. I'll take a couple extra aspirin tonight. And I don't make this jogging business. I'm not real dedicated. I just, maybe run 3-4 miles a week is all. Age is going to be 62 next Monday. K-A-0-G-Y. Thank you. Bye.
Well, thank you for your service, Doug. I'm guessing you were a MP at the military prison there at Fort Leavenworth?
Close by, Fort Riley, Kansas. And they divided our MP time up to one-third main stockade and one-third retraining brigade, which was a stockade for guys that would rather not be in the Army, but they don't want a not dishonorable discharge either. That was a real rowdy place called the Retraining Brigade. And then one-third Road Patrol. Road Patrol was the best to drive around the Jeep with spit-shine boots. Fort Riley, Kansas. 1969 and 1970.
Again, thank you. I had forgotten Fort Riley was out there. I stopped in there, oh, God, got to be at least 25 years ago, driving cross-country, going from one military assignment to another. And Fort Riley just happened to be the closest military installation. And I was a young troop at the time, and I was not quite broke, but pretty darn close. And I knew if I could get a room on at a military base, I could, only pay about $7 for the night. So I took it. It wasn't the greatest lodging, but it was clean, and there was a hot shower and breakfast in the morning. So, again, thank you for your service, and an early happy birthday to you on Monday.
Yeah, thank you very much. The Vietnam era veterans don't get many. It's maybe worse than Korean veterans. I don't know. I don't know which war is... The Korean War is called the Forgotten War, but, you know, in the Vietnam era, veterans, you know, we were just all called baby killers. And not too many people said thanks. It's kind of nice to hear. KA0GYF. Wow.
Well, I won't get into the full geopolitical thing, Doug, but as far as I'm concerned, no veteran of any nation makes their government's policy. They go where they're told. And each, whether they were drafted like yourself or they volunteered like myself and others, swore an oath to protect their nation from harm and should be respected and never forgotten. So, and I, on a personal note, I will pretty much come down verbally quite hard on anybody who disrespects any veteran. So, that being said, and before I get myself too wound up, I'm going to turn it back to either Gordon or Kathy for a couple more trivia questions before we move along.
This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. I'm going to take a few of the trivia, Tony. But I do want to thank all the veterans that have come on tonight. It's been very interesting. I was in the era of the Vietnam War, along with Doug. I was pretty much a senior in high school at that time. And I remember a lot of my friends that were drafted, and many did die over in Vietnam. So it was, as far as I remember, it was a bad war. And those who did serve were not appreciated. But, Doug, I want to tell you that you're appreciated. But I'm going to go through a few of the questions. I'm going to go a little bit out of order. Gordon talked about one that we want to direct to you, Doug, and I hope that you can come up with the answer. So, but I want to tell everyone it's been an enjoyable time tonight for me to be listening. But the question I have is, conscription is an illness that many soldiers got overseas during World War I and World War II. And this is a true and false, or true or false answer. So again, it's conscription is an illness that many soldiers got overseas during World War I and World War II. True and false. Anyone have an answer for me?
X-ray Papalima, I'm going to say false.
Okay, Pete, can you tell me why you think it's false?
I don't, well, I believe that it's not a medical condition, but more of an administrative procedure, but that's about as much as I'm, that's about as much as I know right now. Back to you.
Okay, and this is directed to you, Doug. Conscription is another word that means a draft, D-R-A-F-T. So I wanted to say that because I know Gordon had said that to you. So conscription is another word that means draft. So Pete was absolutely correct when he said it was false. But I went a little bit out of order of my list, but I did come up with some very interesting trivia questions. So we won't go through them all, but I'll go through maybe the next five and then turn it back to you, Tony, if that's okay. What Civil War general graduated first in the West Point class of 1829? Now, we're thinking back to very possibly, if you know history, the Civil War around that time, before that time. What Civil War general graduated first in the West Point class of 1829? Does anyone have an answer? If so, please come aboard. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Hello, Kathy. KU5ORA. I'd like to take a crack at it.
Well, welcome tonight, Rick, and please go ahead.
I'd like to say it was Robert E. Lee.
Well, Rick, I won't put it out there for anyone else, but you're absolutely correct. And if you know your Civil War history, you know there were only two generals. So, you know, it either could be Lee or Grant, right? So, but you are absolutely correct. So, and I know that's gone back a little bit in our wars, but thanks for coming back. Next question I have is, how were the height and width of modern American battleships originally determined? Once again, how were the height and the width of modern American battleships originally determined? Anyone have an answer? Please come aboard.
Golf Yankee Foxtrot.
Well, good evening, Doug. So glad you could join us tonight. So what's your answer?
Well, I might have been able to answer that previous question about conscription, but I was still too shaken up sharing that thank you for my service with my sweetheart, Marilyn. Because I'm thinking, besides my mom and my wife, that's the first time anyone ever said that. Isn't that something? I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm just a draftee. And I think the answer to the question is Panama Canal. K-E-0-G-Y.
Okay, I'll put it out there for anyone else. Doug said the Panama Canal. Does anyone else have any other answer? And Doug, I want to say your service was greatly appreciated. And, you know, I lived through that era. I know how hard it was. Thanks for your comment. But anyone else have another answer or an additional answer? I'm looking for two words here. Anyone else want to come back and give me another answer? Okay, Doug, you were partially correct, Panama Canal, that the ships had to be able to go beneath the Brooklyn Bridge and through the Panama Canal. So you did have it partially correct. But, you know, that's pretty good. You like to listen to the History Channel. I heard you say that. So as a history teacher, you know, I don't know all the answers, but I do know quite a bit. So this was very interesting for me to come up with the trivia on Veterans Day. I really enjoyed it. So thanks again, Doug, for your kind comments and for being there tonight. My next question, and PUJ, if you'd like me to stop and turn it back to you, just sort of let me know in the text box. What was the name of the Japanese destroyer that sank the PT-109 commanded by Lieutenant John F. Kennedy on August 2nd, 1943. Once again, what was the name of the Japanese destroyer that sank the PT-109 commanded by Lieutenant John F. Kennedy on August 2nd, 1943? Anyone have an answer? Please come aboard. Doesn't look like anyone wants to tackle that, and I'm sure there's one person out there probably had the answer, but he also knows the answer. So with that, I'll tell you, it's called the AmeriGirl, A-M-I-G-I-R-I, A-M-I-G-I-R-I. That was a difficult question. I apologize for that. But I'm going to go over, I guess, two more, then I'll turn it back to you, Tony, if that's okay. How many times did the nuclear submarine, the USS Triton, surface during its historic 1960 underwater circumnavigation of the globe? And this is a very difficult answer, but I'll give you a clue. It's 1 to 6. Once, twice, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. How many times did the nuclear submarine, the USS Triton, surface during its historic 1960 underwater circumnavigation of the globe? And once again, it'd be 1 through 6. No one want to take just a guess, 1 to 6? Anyone want to come aboard and just take a wild guess? So come aboard.
X-ray Papa Lima. I'm going to say twice. Once when it left and once when it got back. But it's strictly a guess. Back to you, Kathy. Oh, and by the way, Kathy, in Ontario, that town was pronounced Guelph. Guelph. Back to you.
All right. Pete, thanks for your mention of the town. I didn't want to say it. I spelled it out. I didn't want to say it. But you're absolutely correct. It is twice. Once to remove a sick crew member. Once to pay a tribute to Ferdinand Magellan on the island of Mactan, that's M-A-C-T-A-N in the Philippines, where the explorer was killed in 1521 during his circumnavigation of the globe. A lot of these questions are not easy for you, I know. I'm going to do one more. I'll turn it back to you, Tony. And I'm going to skip the next question. Who was the youngest U.S. Army officer ever to be promoted to general? Once again, who was the youngest U.S. Army officer ever to be promoted to general? And I will tell you, it was a while back. So if anyone has that answer, please come aboard. It's not a current war. It's something way back in history. So if you have the answer, come aboard with your answer. All right, I'm going to give you a clue and then maybe come back with an answer. How about the Little Bighorn? Anyone know about the Little Bighorn? If so, come back and give me that general's name.
X-Ray Papalima with another guest. I believe that the Little Bighorn was the site of Custer's last battle. Once again, strictly guessing. I watched a lot of Westerns growing up. Back to you.
Well, Pete, that's a very good answer. The clue, Little Bighorn, I'm sure helped you, but that's absolutely correct. Some of those were maybe difficult questions. Some of them further down maybe are more interesting, but I'm not sure how much more we'll get to tonight. But with that, I thank everyone for listening to my trivia questions and being here as a part of the special celebration tonight. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And I'll turn it back to you, Tony, KJ4PUJ, and thanks for doing this tonight.
Thanks, Kathy. This is KJ4PUJ, and I don't know who made up the question tonight. I haven't chimed in because I have the answers, so it would be unfair. But whoever made up the questions tonight, thank you. They were outstanding, and I actually learned a couple things going through all 112 of them. So it was pretty good. We've got all the veterans except for myself checked in. So before I share a little bit about my service, I'm going to do another round. Are there any veterans out there that can hear my voice that would like to check in with us? This is the SCARS TNT Open Forum. It is 21:05 or thereabouts Eastern Time here in North America, 0205 Zulu. And this is the Thursday night open forum, and this evening we are honoring veterans of all nations who have served their country, not just those here in North America, and we are asking you to come aboard and share your experiences if you care to do so. And if it wasn't you and it was a family member, that is perfectly acceptable. All service is appreciated and honored this evening. So if there is anyone that would like to come aboard and check in, please do so now. Okay, nothing being heard. This is KJ4PUJ. As I said earlier, I am retired Air Force, and I spent 11 years active duty, 9 in the reserves. I was assigned both here in the United States and overseas. My specialties were military law enforcement and special operations. I met a lot of really great people, and thanks to things like Facebook and MySpace and Skype, I've been able to reconnect with quite a few of them, so it's been nice. I have friends from 25, 26 years ago that we've stayed in touch this whole time, and I count them on on one hand that I can call in, 2 o'clock in the morning and say, come get me out of jail. Which, for those of you that know me, presents a whole other set of problems. I'm going to take a break. I had the pleasure of being in the right place at the right time for most of my career and being able to do some incredible things, some of which could not be talked about at the time and has since been talked about in the annals of history, and others that were noteworthy at the time. And if you look at the video footage, you may or may not see me. Things like summits in Iceland and then our enemies during the Cold War, Soviet military coming to do nuclear arms reduction treaty inspections and spending time based in Korea, but also being in the Philippines and Thailand and other places, and spending a lot of time taking special operations troops into and out to some pretty interesting places where people weren't always happy to see us, and sometimes were throwing lead at us. So it was a wonderful ride. I miss my guys. I retired as an E7 Master Sergeant and was ever so briefly an E8, but didn't hold it long enough for retirement purposes. And like I said, I miss my guys and I miss taking care of my guys. So other than that, there's not a whole lot to say. I'm going to pause, reset, and when we come back, we will open it up for questions, comments, concerns, complaints for any of our veterans.
This is KD0CDQ. Just to say, I would do it all again, but I think I would have stayed with it longer. Back to you.
I agree with you, Mike. I retired basically because of medical reasons. I abused my body by volunteering to be in the right place at the right time when I was in my late teens and 20s. And by the time I was in my 30s, I was definitely paying for it. I actually get a pretty healthy disability check from the VA every month because of it. So, but I had a lot of fun, and I went to a lot of really great places. And sometimes most of the public only see those places on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel or something like that. So, like I said, had a blast, had a lot of fun. I come from a military family background. My father was in the Air Force ROTC and Air National Guard before he got medically disqualified. He was a backseater in the F-105 and F-4s. My stepfather was a weapons officer with an electrical engineering background aboard the USS Chicago in Vietnam. My grandfather, one of my grandfathers, was a Army civil engineer. I come by it honestly. And that being said, we're going to open it up for questions. So at this time, if anybody has any questions, comments, concerns for any of our veterans or anything related to Remembrance Day or Veterans Day, please come aboard now. Okay, nothing being heard. I noticed in the text box that Kathy, who should have been a military recruiter, has signed up yet another South Cars family member. So let's say hello and welcome, and please come aboard to November 4th. Hotel Uniform Bravo Hub. Come aboard and say hello, sir.
Yes, good evening, everyone. The name here is Hub Hotel Uniform Bravo, just like the call sign, November 4, Hotel Uniform Bravo. I am in Birmingham, Alabama. I've been an amateur radio operator about 4 years. I'm the emergency coordinator for Jefferson County Aries and an assistant section emergency coordinator. And I really appreciate the work that South Cars does, especially when I've been out on disasters. And I would just like to once again thank all of our veterans. As one who went to Haiti back in February with a medical team and have been all over the world, my wife was saying this afternoon, we need to make people go and spend time out of the country like they did on the cruise ship out off the California coast to really appreciate the sacrifices that have been made for us to have the freedoms we have. My hat is off to you. Thank you again, veterans. N4H, you be back to net.
Thank you, sir, and welcome to the South Cars family, and couldn't have said it any better about going overseas and visiting places other than your hometown. It puts a whole new perspective on the way you look at things. Mike, you got to go ahead and comment to Pete, KD0CDQ. Go ahead.
Yes, this is KD0CDQ out here in Kansas. Pete, I've never shared this with you, but when about 1959, I ran into the first Canadians I ever met up close and personal. When I was down in Key West, Florida, three Corvettes which are very small destroyers, you know, throwbacks to World War II, came in to Key West, and there were so many young sailors, they sent them up to Boca Chica to house them. And I spent quite a bit of time, you know, partying with these Canadian fellows. They were great. I was so impressed by these young Canadian guys. They were so energetic, and I realized that they had made a trip all the way down the Atlantic Ocean from Canada all the way to Key West in one big thrust. I don't know how they did the fuel situation, but they thrust all the way down there, and the guys were so exuberant, so happy. I really got an excellent impression of young naval Canadians. And then about a year and a half, 2 years later, back in Jacksonville, the last Canadian naval fighter squadron with the old Banshees, the Banshees that were used in the Korean War, they were still flying Banshees, and they came down, and we were the guest squadron to kind of, it was, the, again, the last Canadian Navy fighter squadron, and we did the last operation with them, a joint operation, and then they folded their tent. And again, those young men were the same excellent caliber. It was so great to run into young Canadians as a young man and have a great impression of Canada. And Pete, it has always stuck with me, and it will always stick with me. Those young Canadian guys are extremely fine young men. This is KD0CDQ. Back to you, Tony.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I too had many an opportunity to share an adult beverage with allies and foes alike. I mentioned earlier that there was a Soviet inspection team at one of the installations I was stationed at, and I was assigned as part of their escort detail, and it was interesting because, of course, a lot of GIs, regardless of the country, and particularly when you're working with other nations, they want to swap hats or patches or something in, you know, something insignificant in the grand scheme of things so that they can take back some memorabilia. I will say from experience, never try and out-drink the Russians, the Australians, or the Brits. And the Germans and the Canadians can put up a good fight, too. That being said, I will pass it over to KY6V, who appears to have a comment. This is KJ4PUJ.
Thank you, Tony. KY6V here. I wondered if you would do us all the pleasure, and if not, I would like to have the honor. Before you close tonight, would you read your words verbatim of what is a veteran? Something that you posted on the program script right up at the top. I think it's absolutely precious, sir. KY6V, over.
If you don't mind, this is, I'm going to ask you to read it. And I hope you understand.
Okay. I don't know if you're ready to close. This is probably a good closing item. But guys and gals, Tony did a lot of work of putting the program together tonight. He's the type of guy that dots his I's, he crosses the T's, he thinks out everything in great measure. And he documents it before we go to actual airtime. He started out his script for the program this evening by making this statement, and the first question of the statement was, what is a veteran? And the answer to that, as written in the script, is a veteran is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check payable to the United States of America or their own country for an amount up to and including their life. Regardless of personal political views, that is an honor, and there are no many people in this country who no longer, there are so many people in this country that no longer remember that fact. Food for thought, ladies and gentlemen. Back to Net from KY6V.
Thank you, sir. You did a better job than I could have at this moment. We're going to move on and ask for any closing comments, questions, concerns. But before I do that, are there any veterans anywhere within the sound of my voice who have not already been recognized this evening? Does not matter when you served or for whom you served or the nation that you served. We are honoring your service and all service of all veterans and their sacrifices that their families make. Please come now and be recognized. Go ahead, Pete, with comments because I didn't hear anybody check in.
All right. Well, I was kind of holding mine till the end. My H's and my G's don't work on this little computer. And it's really funny. I'm trying to type messages, and they're just not. It's just not working for me tonight. But anyhow, I want to start by thanking everyone, especially yourself, Tony, one, for doing such a great job tonight. I couldn't have done better myself. Far from it. Far superior than what I could have come up with. And thank you and Gordon and everyone who served for your service and for what everybody's done for the three countries that we live in. And also thanks to everyone who's here to help us remember. And I don't think that we should ever forget. I took a few notes. Kathy mentioned that Remembrance Day or Memorial Day, Veterans Day, is a day off in the United States for school kids. There was a similar debate here a few years ago as to whether they should give the school kids a day off for Remembrance Day as a sign of respect. And the decision was that they decided not to, and the reason for that was that they figured the kids would use the day off to go and do various things, be it sports or video games or hang out at the mall. But they figured they could teach them about Veterans Day a lot more if they kept them in school. And they keep a small portion of the curriculum on that day, even if it's just an hour or so, to talk about the veterans and the various wars, and each school does it in the way that they see fit, so much like Kathy did with her students. So I think I support that decision. I think that was really, really good. And of course, that's a personal opinion, but that's kind of the way it went up here. Let me pause. And I have never personally served. The closest I've come is I was an air cadet as a teenager with the Royal Canadian Air Cadets, Squadron 643. I was in there for about 18 months and had a great time. Unfortunately, left before flying lessons just due to other activities that I was involved in. I was also involved in scouting for a long time, so a form of service for the country, I guess, but very far removed from the military. But I've had the opportunity to have great mentors, two specifically that stand out, two great mentors that were ex-military themselves. One is a personal mentor. His name was Mr. Koch. He was our scout leader, and he taught me great ethics. He taught me patience and definitely taught me some stick-to-itiveness. And he taught me to suck it up and not complain when things got rough. He was a German immigrant. He was in the German military. His son Volker is a good friend of mine to this day and still serves in the medical corps. Mr. Koch unfortunately passed away about 2 years ago to cancer, and that was a great loss in my life. And my other, let me pause and reset again, my final comment. And the second great mentor has been professional. I had the opportunity of working for 10 years for a gentleman who was an ex-Air Force officer. His name is Ben West, and we still keep in touch today. We're very close. And professionally, he taught me everything I know today about how to succeed in business with discipline, organization, analytical skills. And how to have a clear vision and clear expectations. And I've had the chance over the year and throughout my career of working for under military people for the city of Calgary, for the Governor General's office in Canada. I've worked indirectly with the G20. Every military supervisor I've had or who were ex-military, I've had the greatest relations with, because we could see where they're going very clearly and with no uncertainty, and I learned a lot from them. With that being said, I'd like to thank everyone for being there, and thanks to you guys for doing such a great job. And before I time out, I'll pass it back to Net Control. Thanks for picking me up, and thanks for letting me share this this time of remembrance with everybody. Back to Net Control, 7-3, everyone.
Thanks, Pete, and thanks for working so hard to get here tonight. I know you had some technical challenges over the last week, so we really appreciate you being here, and you never have to worry, at least I think in this group, we got your back, you know. I learned this a long time ago in the military. Nobody gets left behind, and we'll just let that go for that. Having said that, is there anybody else that has any comments or questions for our veterans before I go around the production staff and see if they have any closing comments?
Okay, nothing being heard. Ladies go first. So, Kathy, K6SUN, any closing thoughts? And thank you for everything you contributed this evening.
Well, thank you, Tony, for doing your great job tonight. It was my pleasure to participate in what I could do. Like I said, my students participated well with the activities I gave them for Veterans Day. They learned a lot. But it was a great pleasure to be there tonight. And I want to thank you for being the NCS tonight. And thanks to everyone for joining us, all the veterans as well. So with that, I'll say good night to everyone. I had a day off today because of Veterans Day, but I do return to school tomorrow. So I'm probably going to disconnect soon. But super job, Tony, as usual. Thanks for being there. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Back to you, PUJ.
Thanks, Kathy, and for everything you do for South Cars. And for those of you that don't check in very often or are new to South Cars, Kathy is an amazing person and such a key to what we do here at South Cars. So Kathy never thinks that you are not appreciated, at least by any of us. I'm going to move on to Kansas and out to KD0CDQ and my fellow veteran, Mike, who's also a TNT producer. Any closing comments, my friend?
This is KD0CDQ. All I have to say is God bless one, God bless all. And let's remember those friends and those associates that are not here with us today, except in our hearts. And that's a good place to be. God bless and good night.
I'll say an amen to that. Gordon, I'm going to give it to you for closing thoughts regarding the show, back to me, and then we'll let you do the administrative closing. So for your final thoughts, or pre-final thoughts, as they may be.
Thank you very much, Tony. I can only echo exactly what Mike just said. God bless to all. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you, Tony, for letting me be part of the program. And we respect all you veterans and you family members out there. And that's what we were trying to convey tonight. Back to you, Mike. KY6B, over.
Okay, thanks for turning it back to me then, Gordon. It's KD0CDQ. And hey, everybody, come on aboard Saturday. It'll be an interesting day here on SCARS Conference. We'll have many young ladies for our net controllers. And come on aboard, those who are taking the class Sunday. We look forward to you at 7 p.m. Eastern. We've got the classes ready to go. Let's keep on learning so we can keep on serving. And my way of serving is with emergency communications. The young man that was on board here from Aries in Alabama, well, I'm Aries in Kansas. And I know that Tony is active in Aries in Florida. So take care, everybody. God bless and good night. I pass it on to Tony.
Thanks, Mike and Gordon, Pete and Kathy. Without trying to get too sentimental, folks, it is Veterans Day or Remembrance Day, depending on where we're at. And, you know, we have this day, Memorial Day, and a couple others throughout the year where we recognize those that have served and those that are serving. I guess I can tell you as probably the most recent veteran that came aboard tonight, one of the kindest things that you can do for these young men and women when you see them, and it doesn't have to be a holiday, is walk up to them, shake their hand, and say thank you. If you have time, if you each have time, sit down, buy them a Coke, because most of them aren't old enough to drink a beer legally yet, which is another issue in itself. But you would be surprised at how just a simple thank you from an ordinary citizen will lift their spirits, because many times when you see them at the bus station or the train station or the airport, they are getting ready to go into harm's way, and you can usually tell that they're on their way overseas into harm's way because they don't look real happy. When you see a GI in uniform looking happy,
he or she is usually on their way home. And I've been that GI coming home and going overseas on more than one occasion. And believe me, when a total stranger comes up and just says thank you and buys you a Coke or a cup of coffee or a beer, it just means the world to that GI. So having said that, I want to thank everybody for their participation tonight. I want to thank all the veterans that checked in and maybe those that are listening that didn't check in. I want to thank all the family members and all the friends of veterans who have ever supported us. If you've ever worn the country for your, or if you ever worn the uniform for your country, you are to be thanked and to be respected. And I'll meet anybody who disagrees with that out back behind the barn, and we'll settle it the old-fashioned way. Having said that and said my piece, I will get down off my soapbox and turn it back over to KY6V for his final and administrative messages. This is KJ4PUJ from the Florida Keys.
Thank you, Tony. Very nicely put, sir. The only thing I didn't realize is that they have barns down there in the Florida Keys. We'll have to talk about that. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us tonight. We're about ready to close. The TNT Open Forum tonight was honoring our Veterans Day and Remembrance Day throughout the world. We would ask you to take a look at your convenience at our website. A lot of things are going on with South Cars. A lot of nets, a lot of new activities. We have a breaking news page on our website at voip.southcars.com that attempts the best that it can to keep all of you, our members, up to date on what is changing and which direction we're moving in next. As Mike has already indicated, this coming Sunday is going to be a novel morning for us. For the first time in the history of our South Cars VOIP activity, we will have two female NCSs running the entire morning. Kathy, K6SUN, will be administering the 8 to 9 first hour session, and Sarah, who we have nicknamed, thanks to Pete up in Montreal, as our Southern Duchess, and that's KC4TXG, will be running the second hour from 9 to 10 o'clock. So watch out, guys. You're going to find out how women get things done. And also, Mike mentioned our outreach program. It's going very well. We are currently into our course material for the extra license class here in the United States. And we will be having our third course section this coming Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's 0000 Zulu. Midnight Zulu or the start of the next day. Everybody have a great evening. Thanks for coming by and stay tuned. More fun to come. Server's going to be returned back to normal use, and this is KY6V and the net is now closed.